Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Interview Show. My name is Jerome Cusan. If this is the first time you're listening to one of our podcasts, you can find many more of them at iTunes and Stitcher Radio. While you're there, go ahead and leave a 4- or 5-star review on both of those platforms. Help people discover what Pro Wrestling Ponderings podcasts are all about. And if you have some extra dough, if you got some extra money, go to highspots.com through the link on pwponderings.com, and you can get some of the same great merchandise at the same prices, and Pro Wrestling Ponderings will be the benefactors, as we will get a small kickback, and you're going to help support what we do, support the website, keep the doors open so we can continue bringing you great reviews and podcasts like this one, The Interview Show, plus the weekly newscast with Chris and Dez, and Fan to Fan with Kevin Ford. Fan to Fan, always a great time. Joining me on the line for take two of the WSU preview podcast a few weeks ago on Fan to Fan. He talked all about Beyond Wrestling and sort of his background as a wrestling fan. He did not get much of a chance to talk about his other passion project, which is WSU. But since they are running a huge show this Saturday at CZWIPPV.com, as well as the fact that it is fight season, let's get Drew Cordero back on the line. Drew, how's it going?
It's good, and I'm here. So hopefully we won't have to do a take three.
If there is a take three, Drew, you know what's going to happen. I'm going to pay Saraya Knight to come after you.
Please don't. don't do that at all. Like, that's the last thing I need, is to get beat up at a show. Which will inevitably happen, without question, but we're not there yet.
Well, Drew, you've got quite the reputation going, so it's bound to happen.
Do I?
I don't know. That's what I hear from the dirt sheets, and you know they're always right.
I wish the dirt sheets would even give enough of a shit about Beyond or WSU to write anything about me. But I don't know.
So,
we're getting there, I guess,
this
right?
This is not only a big show this Saturday, October the 12th, in Voorhees, New Jersey, but it's about a year since you bought WSU from the previous owner, and I guess I want to sort of get your thoughts on, you know, why is it that you originally bought WSU and, you know, didn't start sort of your own thing?
Well, it's been a year since we ran our first show under new management, and that was partially because when I took over WSU in July officially of last year, I was advised to hold off before running a show, which I felt like we had a lot of momentum coming out of the announcement that Beyond Wrestling had taken over WSU. And, you know, unfortunately, I took some bad advice. And I think that, you know, we could have really rode that momentum into like a blockbuster first show. And instead, we really struggled with our first offering last year. I was happy overall. I thought it was an important first step to take. But getting back to your question, as far as why did I get involved with WSU, it was something that seemed and has turned out to be just like an exciting opportunity that came out of nowhere, that it was just like, hey, like, let's do this because it seems awesome and it'll be a big challenge to make sure that it actually is awesome. Looking at WSU on the surface and you know, getting some fan feedback before getting involved with the project, it seemed like there were a lot of quick fixes, especially with things that Beyond Wrestling excelled, you know, areas where we were doing a good job, like in terms of our video quality and our online presentation. And I thought that if we could scale some of these ideas to WSU, at the very least, we could improve rapidly certain elements. And, you know, there were some other things that we had promised that, you know, didn't come to fruition within the first year. You know, I thought that our relationship with Smart Mark Video was going to pan out to be bigger than it was, but we had an interesting opportunity to work with CZW, which at the time presented a bit of a conflict, and I have no regrets in terms of the way things have panned out. I would have loved to have worked closer with Smart Mark Video if the option was there, but it came, you know, it was kind of like a one or the other type situation. And I think for being able to bring WSU to Philadelphia, which was far and away the most requested area once we had took over, you know, where do you want to see WSU? And even though Voorhees is, you know, about 30 minutes across the bridge, it's the closest we're going to get to Philly. And that opportunity wouldn't have, you know, come to fruition had it not been for a relationship with CZW. And you know, just to expand on that a little bit more, I'm probably just going to answer all of your questions before you even ask them. I wouldn't even call this necessarily a podcast. This is just talk for now.
It's funny. We haven't talked in a really long time, Drew. I was looking forward to a conversation, and you're just going to answer all of my questions.
Yeah. No, let me just get this little tidbit in there. Once we took over WSU, we kind of promised that we were going to expand out to other parts of New England, where obviously Beyond Wrestling had a bit of a stronghold, and, you know, maybe dabble in a couple other spots around the country. But I think the scene changed drastically towards the end of last year and the beginning of this year, where the idea of like a nationally touring independent wrestling company just does not seem plausible in 2013. So I would much rather grow a strong base of operations, which is, believe it or not, is actually what we have been able to do in Voorhees, New Jersey, with our attendance going up from An Ultraviolent Affair to Queen and King to Uncensored Rumble, and hopefully with the momentum of fight season behind us, you know, for this upcoming event, Blood and Thunder, this Saturday, you know, hopefully we'll be able to continue to build, you know, what we've started in Voorhees, New Jersey at the Flyer Skate Zone. So if you have any questions left, now you can talk.
So over the past year, you know, what are some of the things that you've learned in sort of running an operation? WSU at least has some history. And, you know, I think with Beyond Wrestling, this is sort of, it felt more like your personal passion project. WSU sort of has at least some level of history. So what have you learned over the last year as a wrestling promoter?
I think WSU has helped me become more business oriented. I think WSU has really helped me realize that, like, it's a type of situation where you're not going to be able to please everybody all the time. And so maybe appealing to the most vocal fans isn't going to be the best bet. Maybe it's more important to appeal to the majority of the fans, which I think sometimes in independent wrestling, especially going back to the message board days where it's like, you know, there are a lot of people that will, you know, back when message boards were popular, and even Twitter now, and however else people look at feedback in independent wrestling, where they will lurk and not necessarily contribute. And sometimes it feels like it's damaging because you've got, like, you know, the dozen or so people that constantly speak up. And in some ways, I feel like if they're not corrected, they've then become opinion leaders. And people that don't have the time to make that evaluation for themselves will sort of adopt those opinions. And so it's kind of like one of those things where it's like you don't want to necessarily book for those people. And then if those people become vocal detractors, it can be damaging. But then, you know, again, as far as going back to your question, things that I learned, it's then like, okay, how do you work around that? So I've really liked the challenges that have been, you know, thrown my way. I have never really worked with wrestlers of the caliber of, you know, a Mercedes Martinez or a Lou Fisto before I had started working with WSU. And I think being able to work with, you know, veteran professionals gave me a better understanding on how to approach other wrestlers that had that high profile within the world of wrestling. And it's a very difficult thing to balance where, I mean, just outright, like when it comes to negotiating money and stuff like that, it's like you don't want to be put in a situation where, I mean, honestly, man, like I almost feel like at times, like you kind of pay for your reputation in the world of wrestling, where it's like, if somebody asks you for what you think is an absurd amount of money and you give in to them, it's like, rather than being grateful, like, oh man, you know, this guy's really trying to take care of me, it almost becomes a situation where it's like, oh, like, look at this fucking mark. So I think that being able to work with WSU and working with people with pay grades that I was not used to up until that point, like, it really helps you. It helped me at least to like get a better understanding of like what different wrestlers' values are and like what the best way to handle sort of the money side of things is, so that way you can come off as being a professional, but also doing everything in your ability to take care of who you're working with and show that you are appreciative, as opposed to being taken advantage of.
So obviously, you know, AIW, they do the girls' night out, and they're Shimmer Women Athletes, and they, you know, both have had some various success with running even before you started WSU. Did you sort of incorporate any of the things that they were doing into your business model or any of the talents, or how much did those companies have an influence over what you did in WSU?
Well, it's like an influence almost in the opposite direction, where it's like, if we're going to continue to be a women's wrestling organization, and if there's Shimmer, and then, you know, in the meantime, like, Shine was something that came about, and then, like, Blow started running shows, it then becomes, what can we do to provide the best product possible while differentiating ourselves from all of these other organizations? And, you know, WSU has a reputation for being violent and gritty, and I thought that that was one of the best reasons to partner up with CZW, which... you know, has a very strong reputation within the world of independent wrestling. And it's like, whether you love CZW or you hate CZW, you know about CZW. And, you know, I'm interested in some of the more violent matches. I'm interested in working with some of the more vocal wrestlers. Just as we've done with Beyond, I don't like to put restrictions on our wrestlers. But I think that there's also, you know, a fine line between being entertaining and being gratuitous. And I think that when you go back and look at some of the old WSU shows, it almost seemed like people were going out of their way to be shocking. And at that point, like, even if you're not offended, it just comes off as kind of tacky. So, you know, that's another thing where it's been fun. It's been challenging to try and find that balance between, you know, pushing the envelope without going overboard. So it definitely in that regard. You know, again, trying to make sure that we can stand out when knowing we're going to be compared to organizations like Shine and Shimmer and Femme Fatales. But at the same time, when you see certain organizations working with certain wrestlers repeatedly, and then, you know, I was able to expand my network and be able to, you know, have an open line of communication to somebody like Dave Prazak, or obviously with Thorn and Biggins through AIW, you know, the promoter from MTW, Femme Fatales. And even had the opportunity to talk with Lexi Fife and Daphne briefly at WrestleCon. It's like, then when you understand where they're coming from and why they hold certain wrestlers in such high regard, if they go to bat for a certain wrestler, then it's like, okay, then if this person is being, you know, spoken of so highly by all of their peers, then maybe it's somebody that we should go out of our way to try and work with. Whereas I feel like with the previous management of WSU, it was kind of like, oh, like, this is a Shimmer girl, like, we're not going to work with her because it's a Shimmer girl. And I don't necessarily think that's the right attitude to take. Like, there's a way to differentiate what you're doing from the other organizations without, like, alienating yourself completely.
Yeah, someone like Jessica Havoc, who had never been in Shimmer before, finally made her Shimmer debut at WrestleCon, and obviously that's a huge benefit for her getting to work in both places.
I mean, I think it's a huge benefit for WSU too. If there's somebody that for some reason had never checked out Jessica Havoc's work before, but saw what she was capable of doing, you know, I would think that it would make them more inclined if they were interested in her body of work, well, where the majority of her matches taking place, WSU. So I would think that it would be beneficial to both parties involved. I never understood the thought process that goes behind, like, trying to put restrictions, especially on independent wrestlers. Like, again, this is going to be
independent wrestlers. It's even worse for them.
Sure, but, I mean, this is going to be a repeating theme throughout the podcast, but, like, that's the nature of independent wrestling. It's like, you have to be prepared for talent that's going to be making moves, because even if they're, you know, sure, it's one thing to go work for a rival organization, but, like, you've got to think their aspirations are at some point to also make it to TV. So it's like, you need to be flexible. You need to be prepared. And you know, if the type of situation ever came about where, like, Jessica Havoc was like, oh, you know what? Like, I decided I like Shimmer better. you know, I'm not going to do WSU anymore. That's just like something that you have to prepare for. You know, she could, get signed to WWE tomorrow, and we would also not have the ability to work with her. You know, there are a million things that could happen. Somebody could get sick. Somebody could get hurt. Somebody could quit the business. You know, with the girls, something that you don't have a problem with the men's wrestlers, but they can get pregnant. So there's a million things that you need to be prepared for, and I don't think that you should tell a wrestler, oh, you can't go work here just for fear that they're going to work for a rival. Because if it's the rival that's not taking them away, there's a plethora of other reasons why that could happen.
So I want to talk a little bit about StreamWSU.com. This is something that's I am a huge advocate of, is more streaming websites. You know, obviously, we're never going to get to a point where there's like a Netflix for independent wrestling and all the companies are going to be in one convenient place. But, you know, I think StreamWSU.com is a fantastic idea, the concept of it. So your thoughts on sort of getting this off the ground and sort of being able to put up some original content with the quote-unquote secret shows?
When I first took over WSU and I was given some of the contacts that the previous owner had, one of the first people that I spoke with was Mike from High Spots, which is a guy that, like, nobody really ever talks about, which I'm kind of surprised because, like, he is really at the forefront in independent wrestling in a lot of ways. High Spots does big business, and he's the guy in charge. So he suggested right from the start, he's like, you guys need to have, like, a monthly streaming subscription site. And I thought, there's no way that this is even possible. Like, the amount of time that it would take to digitize the footage and, like, get it up. Like, I don't know how to do any of this. I was like, this would be a cool idea, but it's just not even feasible. So I kind of tucked it away in my back pocket and Bonked from Reddit approached me and was just like, hey, this is what we do with Chaos Pro Wrestling. You still there?
Yes.
Okay. And he was like, hey, this is what we do with Chaos Pro Wrestling. And I was like, well, this is an idea that I've had, but I don't think it's feasible. And he was unbelievable. He just took care of everything. And, you know, we've been trying different approaches. What I wanted to do at first is like, okay, we'll unleash like a plethora of new content every month. And then it became the type of situation where it's like, maybe we would be better off instead of doing this monthly, like putting out stuff weekly. And as opposed to the Wrestling Is streaming site, which like rotates their content, I want to get to the point where we can have the entire library up and then be adding new content monthly as well. So, you know, if you're paying $10 a month, you'll have access to new shows and you'll have access to all of the classic shows too. And I've actually just started releasing Beyond Wrestling full events there as well. So, again, this goes back to what you were saying as far as like, when we keep an eye on some of the other organizations that we work with, we're certainly pioneers in terms of like this type of distribution for women's wrestling. And I'm happy to be part of that because, again, I want to use WSU as a way to sort of push certain boundaries. We, you know, like when it goes back to Beyond Wrestling, like we simply don't have the catalog to fall back on to make it a good value for fans. But by the end of the year, we'll probably have close to, I don't know, 60 or 70. Like, we'll probably have close to the entire WSU catalog, plus close to the entire Beyond Wrestling catalog at streamwsu.com. So for, like, $10 a month to have access to over 100 shows, and then, you know, again, with a new show being added monthly, it's like if you're going to pay $15 for a DVD, you might as well just pay the $10. You'll get access to that show, and you can, you know, watch all of the other content, too. So definitely want to figure out more ways to create more exclusive content as well. We did the brief sort of out-of-character interview with Jessica Havoc talking about some of her best matches in WSU. And I think with an announcement that will probably be coming in the next week or two, we will certainly have more resources at our disposal, which will help us in creating more unique content for our different platforms. So I appreciate that you asked the question about Stream WSU. I think it's an awesome service, and a lot of credit goes out to Paul, who set everything up, because I haven't had any complaints as far as the service itself not working. It seems like, you know, as many issues that arise in this technological age, yes. Stream WSU actually works. So that's like a pretty good thing.
Paul's a very good guy. I had a chance to go down to Chaos a couple of times, and he's been nothing but good to me. So I fully support him, and I hope that StreamWSU.com becomes the standard almost for all independent wrestling companies, that they can get all of their content in one place, because I think that's the future of media is sort of all these entities, these media companies, putting all of their stuff up on streaming for $10 or $15 a month. That's how media, I think, is going to be consumed in the next 10 to 20 years.
People tell me, like, oh, how can you justify a $10 price point a month when Netflix is $8 a month? And it's just like, okay, that's a good point, but how could you justify paying $15 for one wrestling DVD when you could just watch Netflix? It's like, if you just want to watch Netflix, then just watch Netflix. If you want to watch a wrestling DVD, like, it's a totally different value, you know, because it's a totally different product. If you want to support independent wrestling, I mean, $10 a month is virtually nothing. Like, you're probably not going to go to many shows where you can pay $10 just for general admission. So again, it's something that I want to continue to build up, and I think we're in the right direction.
I agree. I mean, you're preaching to the choir on my end, so.
Yeah, well, it's not you that I have to convince. It's everybody that's listening to the podcast.
Well, I'll help. You know, Kevin and I, when we did our we did a podcast talking all about this technological stuff, and, You know, the idea of paying $8 to stream thousands of hours on Netflix, and then I'm being asked to spend $15 to $20 on a wrestling DVD in 10, 20 years, if not sooner, that's not going to be a feasible idea.
Right.
So let's also talk about what's actually coming up this very
Saturday. I will say this, though. Whenever I do the polls on the Beyond Wrestling site and this, that, and the other thing, people are far and away more excited about MP4 downloads than they are streaming. And
I think because of the iPay-per-view thing.
Maybe because of the iPay-per-view thing, but I'm also going to maybe stretch here. You know, maybe I'm trying to connect dots that aren't there, that shouldn't be connected. But I have a feeling that a lot of people that have access to streaming stuff maybe do not have the best equipment on their end. Maybe they don't have the best internet connection. Maybe they don't have the best computer. I mean, the computer that I use regularly for all of the editing that we do for Beyond Wrestling, it's almost 6 years old. So I can certainly understand if there's people that aren't even, you know, if they don't even use their computers for nearly as much, simply to stream the web and, like, for word processing applications, you know, putting together a PowerPoint. I can understand, you know, they might not have the technology to support something something like streaming. But definitely long term, this is where everything is going. Absolutely. Without question. And, you know, and it needs to be available on all platforms, too.
Absolutely. No, I wouldn't say the DVDs are completely going away, because I think there's always going to be people that also want their physical media. So I think the most important thing for any independent wrestling company is that they have DVDs, MP4s, and streaming available at the same time. So, I mean, I think that's just the way the business is going to be.
I agree.
So let's talk about this Saturday, Blood and Thunder. Hopefully both of your main event wrestlers are able to be at the show. Fingers crossed, right, Drew?
I mean, it's one of those things, again, that's part of the fun. That's part of the challenge. It's like, you know, if you're put in a situation like that, you have to do what you can with the resources at your disposal to the best of your ability to make good on the situation. And, you know, we were obviously put in that situation with Uncensored Rumble. I still stand by my decision that I made. So I'm happy that we were able to feature wrestlers that just happened to be there that week and that wouldn't have been featured as prominently if they were just in a spot in the Rumble, because I think that it's helped us identify other wrestlers that could be doing bigger things for WSU in the future. And, like, yes, that sucks that it came at the expense of having a main event caliber match, but, again, like, people get hurt. Like, Athena got hurt the night before. You know, you run that risk with any double shot. I mean, AIW just ran two shows Sunday. Any one of the girls that were on their shows could have gotten hurt and then, you know, would have been forced to pull off our shows this weekend. You can't tell wrestlers where and, you know, when they can work. So, we'll see. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be advertising a main event if I didn't think that it was something that was going to come to fruition. So
for sure. Do you want to say anything about the secret show that's coming up, or do you just want to get into Blood and Thunder?
The secret show is awesome. I love the format. Again, this sort of goes back to my knowledge, my history, my experience with Beyond Wrestling, and kind of like taking the idea of a studio taping and figuring out a way that we could adapt it to a bigger audience. One thing that I always get complaints about, and it sucks because there really isn't anything that we can do about it, is when we run the iPay-per-views with CZW, the doubleheaders were on such a strict schedule that we can't do a meet and greet. And one thing that I loved about the secret show last time is not only did everybody get to sit ringside because it's an extremely small venue, but when it came time for intermission, it was like, we don't have to follow a specific format. Like, all of these fans here are open-minded. They just want to, you know, see some good women's wrestling. So we want to create a totally different atmosphere for them. And so, like, I think intermission went, like, 55 minutes. And so all the fans got to interact with all the wrestlers. And, you know, if they wanted to take a picture with them or, you know, get an autograph or, you know, just pick their brain about different places that they're working and stuff like that, it was cool to be able to give them that interactive connection. And just like we try and boast with, you know, Beyond Wrestling being the most interactive pro wrestling on the planet, like, I don't want to remove those levels of interaction from WSU. But again, when we're doing these iPay-per-views, like, we do have a strict schedule that we have to adhere to. So, I mean, if you're in the Northeast and you're a fan of women's wrestling and you're planning on coming the next day, like, email us at WSUWomensWrestling@gmail.com and we'll get some information about the secret show. We don't have a lineup yet. I think we have everybody that's going to be competing on the show confirmed, but I don't think I'm going to put it together until day of the card. I may keep it a secret to myself.
Fly by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, it's fun. It's challenging. It's kind of fun to give the wrestlers, you know, to evaluate them too, like to see who can sort of, you know, maybe on a short moment's notice, like not be able to prepare for their competitor and kind of see how they do. These secret shows are definitely designed specifically to be experimenting and, you know, to try out new wrestlers that haven't had the opportunity to compete for WSU already to see if they can earn a permanent spot. Because, again, the turnaround time in wrestling, whether it's men's, independent, women, however you want to classify, is fast. So, you know, we always need to be looking out and identifying for, like, what's going to be the next wrestler that we really want to work with and try and get behind. So, secret show, pretty awesome. Probably going to have an awesome time. I talked about it.
So, at Blood and Thunder, the main event is scheduled to be Jessica Havoc defending her championship against Lexus.
What do you define as the main event?
I mean, I'm just going by reverse order. I mean, I'm going by the listing here.
Okay, fair enough.
if it's not the main event, that's fine, but
I don't know. Maybe we'll open with it. I don't know. I like putting a big match first. I'm always guilty of that.
Oh, geez, true. This is what happens when we let you run shows.
I don't know. I think people would probably argue that the match between Mickey Knuckles and Saraya Knight, which just accidentally got turned into a fans bring the weapons match. I don't know how that happened. like somebody was just like, "Hey, can we bring weapons?" And then like before I had the ability to respond on Twitter, Saraya was just like, "Yeah, absolutely. Like, fuck it. Who the fuck cares? Like, let's just go all in. Like, let's just bleed all around the building." Like,
and it's not like you're gonna tell Saraya Knight she can't.
Well, exactly. It's like, who cares if CZW has to run our show later? Who cares if we're trying to build something in Voorhees? Fuck it. We're like, me and Mickey are just gonna slaughter each other. It's like, okay, like, what do you want me to do? Step in and say no, guys? Like, you can't do it. Like, it's done. It's a done deal. Come on. Everybody knows that I'm such a pusher.
A word of advice to anyone who might be planning to go to WSU/CZW, stay clear of Saraya Knight, because she has a little bit of a reputation for getting into it with fans, and the fans at Berwyn, I believe they are a little bit more docile than the ones that are in the Northeast. Just be aware that she might slap you in the face.
She's going to slap Whack Packer Hogan, I can already tell you.
That's fine. I mean, I am very much in favor of her slapping CZW fans.
Well, we better make sure that Maven Bentley is ringside and he's got, you know, 20 or 30 students in tow. Because there's no way, you know, in the back you could do the locker meeting and be like, "Hey, guys, don't fight outside the guardrails." And it happens every single time. And then when you have, like, projectiles, like, who the hell knows what kind of weapons are going to get added to the mix? So I would say that Blood and Thunder has a double main event. The world title match between Jessica Havoc and Lexus, which is a year in the making since Lexus was not given her one-on-one opportunity at Full Steam Ahead. And when she had an opportunity to earn it once again, she was absent at an ultra-violent affair because of the weather conditions, a blizzard. That's another thing, too. Weather, man, you know, border issues, like, fuck it, dude. There's so many problems. Like, the fact that wrestling even happens is
a minor miracle at this point.
It really is.
Climate change and the border control for so many of the problems in independent wrestling these days.
Jesus. That was a mini Zandig, Jesus. Anyway. So Lexus. So then, you know, she competed in the tag match at Queen and King of the Ring, which was kind of non-consequential. You know, it didn't help her work up the card to get the match with Havoc. But, you know, fans kept asking, when is Lexus going to get her match? When is Lexus going to get a match? So we had a number one contendership match. We had her wrestle Nevaeh at Uncensored Rumble, since Nevaeh had scored a pinfall over Jessica Havoc at one of the CZW events earlier in the year, and Lexus won, and so here it is. Like, here you go, Lexus. Like, here's finally your one-on-one shot. Like, did management make her jump through hoops? I guess you could argue either way. But now she's finally got her shot against Havoc, so it's kind of like time to put up or shut up. Like, if you don't win the title, where do you go from here? There's really a lot riding on this, so. But the fans have been behind her the entire time, even when she wasn't at the show. It's like, why hasn't Lexus gotten her one-on-one shot yet? So I'll give her credit. You know, she's definitely worked to get back into this position where she can earn this title shot. The bigger question is probably, like, what state of mind is Jessica Havoc going to be coming into this match? Because, once again, the Midwest Militia is not going to be in full effect. And, you know, at full steam ahead last October, we had all three members of the Midwest Militia in the House. But Sassy Stephanie and Allison Kay missed an ultra-violent affair, once again due to the weather issues. All three of them were in the House at Queen and King of the Ring, although they had sort of different objectives that they had to focus on. But then we had no Allison Kay and no Jessica Havoc at Uncensored Rumble. So Sassy Stephanie was by herself, and she fired some shots at Havoc, saying that she thought it was pretty much bullshit that she missed her flight. She didn't think it was a good reason, especially as the champion representing WSU, but I think more so the fact that she represented Midwest Militia. So here we are with Blood and Thunder, and while we had scheduled a match for Allison Kay and Sassy Stephanie to defend their tag team titles against Kimberly and Antisocial, Sassy Stephanie has opted to take a booking for Remix Pro Wrestling against Maria. So, you know, it's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black. Like, maybe you shouldn't be talking shit on Jessica Havoc unless you can make your bookings that you had committed to previously. So I hope that Havoc has her mind set on Lexus, but something tells me that she's probably got something else on her mind, and that would have to do with her stable mates.
I would argue that two of my favorite female wrestlers, Allison Kay, Kimberly, obviously you mentioned no tag title match, but we're going to see Allison Kay and Kimberly in singles action instead. And you know, I've been very impressed with what I've seen out of both of these ladies in AIW. A very impressive run through the gauntlet for Kimberly, and Allison Kay has been the WSU Women's Champion for over 2 years. And you know, obviously Allison Kay, one half of the WSU Tag Team Champions, Kimberly and Antisocial, top contenders for those titles. So I can only assume that this is sort of an opportunity for Kimberly to prove that they deserve a WSU Tag Team title match.
I mean, the next time that we can schedule the match, they're going to get the match regardless. But yeah, this is like an awesome first time ever match as far as like two women's wrestlers that really came up quick over the past couple years. It could go either way, and that's what's so exciting about the match. Like, Allison Kay, just coming fresh off Japan, like, you know how rapidly wrestlers, like, improve when they're on those Japanese tours? like, they come back completely different people. So I'm very excited to see what Allison Kay is going to be like on her own, but I also couldn't tell you off the top of my head the last time that she had a singles match in WSU. So, you know, and Kimberly, I'm going to say that the fans there, again, at the Flyer Skate Zone are going to be firmly behind her because they get to see her compete monthly for the CGW events. But both are really awesome. I think that both are going to be major players in the women's wrestling scene in short order if they're not already considered to be considered to be at that level. So very excited to be able to present that first time ever match, even if it did come at the expense of a tag team title defense.
And then Christina Von Erie and Nevaeh will be wrestling Vita Scott and Jesse Brooks in a tag team grudge match.
Yeah. We had Jenny Rose versus Christina Von Erie on the last show, and Vita Scott and Jesse Brooks kind of interjected themselves where they definitely didn't belong. So we'll let good old Christina Von Erie pick a partner of her choosing, and it just so happened to be Nevaeh. I think they want to work out some tag team strategy since they also have a tag team match later that night for CGW. And unfortunately, that's going to be coming at the expense of Vita Scott and Jesse Brooks. So hopefully they will have Jenny Rose in their corner for a little bit of guidance so she can bestow that Japanese wrestling expertise onto Vita and Jesse Brooks. But something tells me that Jenny Rose is probably going to have her hands full with Nikki Storm instead.
What do you talk about that next?
Yeah, I mean, is it going to be fun if I just tell the story about how the match actually came about?
All right.
Jenny Rose just contacted me and was like, hey, like, it would be awesome to wrestle Nikki Storm. She's like, okay.
Drew, you're a great booker. If that's how you book, man, you're a genius.
No, I mean, this is Jenny Rose's, like, to me, the epitome of like a WSU success story. Like, she came up through WSU, and obviously, you know, with her performances there and with some of the other women's organizations, was able to earn an extended tour of Japan. And while it was super exciting to have her back for the Uncensored Rumble to wrestle Christina Von Erie, you know, from the time that we announced that she's going to be wrestling Nikki Storm, she's already been invited back to Japan, where she's going to be competing for, I'm guessing, in the range of 3 to 6 months, probably closer to 6 months. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I wish we could work with Jenny Wrestler. That's a good name, Jenny Wrestler. I wish we could work with Wrestler, Jenny Rose, on a full-time basis, but It's cool. You know, she's really taking this this title of independent wrestler pretty seriously, so she can go wherever she wants. And I don't blame her. I would rather be in Japan than Voorhees, New Jersey. That's not true. I don't like fish. I don't think I would like Japan at all.
No, if you were a wrestler, I would say go there because you would get a million times better. But
oh, I also can't stand when people can't speak English. And I don't mean this in like a racist way. It's like more so like my own inability to like be able to communicate, because I do fancy myself like a pretty good communicator. So it's like when there's like language barrier issues, it like it frustrates me to the point where it's like, oh my God, like my own inability. So yeah, man, like people with accents, that shit's so hard for me. I can fucking barely understand people when they're talking to me in regular voices. So. Maybe I just don't pay attention. Maybe I'm just not a good listener. I hope I make a better podcaster than I do a listener.
I mean, you've done enough of these to where you at least, you should be pretty good by now, right?
I don't know.
How many have you done on this website alone?
Probably the majority of them.
You've been on to talk about like three different companies, WSU, Beyond. No, four, AIW and CZW.
Let's make it five, bro. Who are we taking over next?
I don't know. You have to make a decision on that. I mean, are there any midget wrestling companies for you to buy, or is that
the next step? I like to run an Exoticos wrestling company.
Or you could do like the Lucha Vavooms or something like that.
Maybe like a kaiju knockoff.
That's right. That's the one company you worked for that we didn't promote because it was before Pro Wrestling Ponderings existed.
Yeah, well, that was the one company that I got canned for promoting too much, so. Anyway, Nikki Storm, she was really proactive in securing bookings when she was going to be over here. So, you know, Jenny Rose versus Nikki Storm, a match with international implications. But, you know, that's one of those matches where it's like, it's cool to be able to put it together. Probably it's not going to have too much ramifications up and down the card going forward. But, you know what, man? Like, sometimes maybe it is just enough to put two awesome wrestlers in the ring at the same time and let them do their thing. Sometimes I think that we get too caught up in some of the other frills that become unnecessary at times. I definitely think that, especially when you have a match like this, looking at it on paper, you don't want to do anything that's going to necessarily detract from it. That's my mentality as somebody that's putting the match together. There's certainly some matches where, like, when there's personal issues, you kind of want to play them up. But, I mean, Jenny Rose versus Nikki Storm, there's no personal issues. It's just two internationally traveled wrestlers that are interested in wrestling each other, and I'm obviously interested enough in seeing it to give it the green light and hope that fans feel the same way. So, that to me, that's a match that needs no hype.
And then you've got an open challenge as Cherry Bomb will be wrestling the dreaded three question marks.
So have you ever dealt with Cherry Bomb?
No.
She's kind of nasty. She's I don't know. She's not very fun or challenging. No, she's not easy to deal with. She's very mean. She has a very high opinion of herself. And I mean, yeah, she's a good athlete. I'm not going to take that away from her. But she really I don't know. She thinks that there's not a lot of good athletes on the WSU roster. So she has put out an open challenge to the best athlete on the WSU roster, whoever that may be. But again, the landscape has changed so much over the last year. I'd be careful issuing an open challenge at WSU because you never know who's going to show up. So I'll leave it at that. But, I mean, hey, for being able to issue a challenge to, you know, your opponent, they know if they've accepted the challenge. So, like, whoever's going to be wrestling Cherry Bomb is going to be watching her matches to scout her. Cherry Bomb is going into it, you know, and it's a totally different type of strategy when you're going into a match when you don't know who your opponent is. So she thinks very highly of herself. She's, you know, this is a good test for Cherry Bomb.
Some of the other talents scheduled to appear: Shayna, Barbie Hayden, Santana Garrett, Lea Von Dutch, Xandra Bale, Jody DeMilo, Jules Malone, and Jesse Kay. And that's going to be the WSU show, Blood and Thunder, 4:00 Eastern Time. Of course, Voorhees, New Jersey is the place to be. And if not, then you can go to czwippv.com to get the iPay-per-view. And also, if you're in Voorhees, you can get a combo ticket for general admission, $40. You can see both WSU and CZW. Did I miss anything?
Nope.
See, Drew, I'm trying to help you. You know, you got to do this all by yourself. You're a country of a man, or city of a man, and I'm helping you out.
I appreciate it. The less plugs that I have to do, the better.
So anything else before we call it a night here?
Pretty much looking forward to Blood and Thunder. I think that it's going to be, you know, a good milestone to see, okay, this is where WSU started off under new management, and this is where they are 1 year later. And it's going to be, you know, a good way to sort of evaluate the strengths and weaknesses of WSU going forward. Because obviously our goal is we want to put on the best women's wrestling show that we possibly can produce, because we think that the fans deserve it. And if we're doing well, not only does it help the general opinion of women's wrestling, especially women's wrestling in the independent landscape, but it can also be designed as a way to help some of these girls, you know, expand their international profiles, you know, to be able to work with somebody like Jenny Rose, again, who's able to go and compete in Japan and make a living off of it. Because just like it is on the men's side of things, like, I don't think that there's many women's wrestlers that are living off of it entirely. So, you know, one thing I do want to talk about is that we are part of Fight Season. I don't think
that was going to be my next question is going to be.
I thought the podcast was done. I thought the interview was done.
No, I was going to ask what Fight Season meant to you, so go ahead.
No, I think that Fight Season is super symbolic of the growth of WSU as an organization over the last year, because if this was WSU under old management, WSU would not have been invited to be part of Fight Season. So I hope that Fight Season is the type of situation where all of the organizations are sort of spotlighting each other's events. Obviously, while spotlighting their own, I hope that there is some friendly competition, because I think that every organization probably wants to have the best show of the bunch. You know, this has been an opportunity for us to work with wrestlers that we otherwise would not have been capable of, because they're touring the United States for the month. Wrestlers like Nikki Storm, wrestlers like Saraya Knight, wrestlers like Shayna. But I think most importantly, I hope this gives the women's wrestlers themselves a taste of this is what could be a possibility, where the men wrestle every single weekend, but the women's shows that are dedicated specifically to women's wrestling, as opposed to just being an attraction match or being, you know, hey, I have to wrestle the same girl every weekend for the next 6 months because she's the only girl until, like, the nearby school produces, like, a new girl, and then I get to wrestle her even though she sucks. Like, and then I, like, because she's not ready because we just need a new girl to wrestle. Like, I hope this really gives the wrestlers an opportunity to see, like, this is something that we could be moving towards. And, you know, I hope it means that everybody's going to be working harder, not only to promote themselves, but to promote the organizations that they work for, because I think it would be cool long term if the amount of shows that are being run for Fight Season were run regularly. I don't see why, you know, it couldn't be a situation where women's wrestling, at least on an independent level, could grow to the point where it could be comparable to the men's wrestling. So, I know that CGW, their school right now, has like 6 female students.
Wow.
So, you know, there's definitely interest, at least from people that are wanting to become wrestlers. Like, it would be cool if there was more places for them to be able to work. And not only just places that they can work, but like safe environments that encourage, you know, positive growth. Places
and aren't like, going to exploit them.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I see, this is why I knew it would be a great idea doing my one and only WSU podcast with you, because we're on the same wavelength. You know, I don't need to go out and say it explicitly. But no, obviously, that is a concern in women's wrestling. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Like, I mean, there are certain women's organizations. I cringe when I hear their names and I see what some of the things that they're doing. And the only thing that's going to benefit women's wrestling is if the promoters themselves take it seriously and promote it just as they want a men's show. I think that's the only way that you're really going to be able to defeat those stereotypes and get people interested in the product.
I feel like I've always approached WSU at least as seriously as I have Beyond Wrestling. Honestly, probably more so. Like, anybody that was in the last locker room meeting at the last WSU show was probably like, why is Drew yelling at everybody? But it's because I want WSU to succeed. On a selfish level, you know, besides all of the other reasons that I've said, is I put my name on it. You know what I mean? And when my name's on the line, that's my reputation. And one of the reasons that I got involved with WSU was to grow my reputation in the world of professional wrestling. I'm not going to put out a product that I can't stand by. And if it's something that I'm not proud of, then it needs to be addressed and corrected immediately, because I will not be viewed as a failure in the world of professional wrestling. And I think it's awesome that, like, Beyond Wrestling has grown so much in such a short period of time. And we can't take that same approach for WSU. So I feel like however we're going to be able to help, you know, push WSU forward and what our place is in independent wrestling and women's wrestling, it'll sort of broaden my horizons and give me even more experience as a promoter or a booker or whatever the hell people view me as, because I don't like to give myself a title. I don't pay myself, so I feel as though I haven't earned the title.
Executive producer, creative director. There's so big many boss. Titles. They all mean the same thing. So I wanted to ask about audience, because I think that one of the interesting things about a women's wrestling organization, is there any outreach that you feel you can do to maybe bring in women and young girls to see wrestling?
I don't necessarily think that, like, we should be going out of our way specifically to target, like, women fans just because it's women's wrestling. I think that there are certain, like, violent elements just in wrestling in general that may... Oh, man, this, like, I don't know. Like, what kind of a question did you just ask me? I can't answer this. I'm going to be in trouble. Like, there's no way to answer this.
I mean, so I'll ask you, I'll say why I asked this, because I think that one of the reasons that certain women's organizations like the WNBA survive is because they do specifically market to women and young girls, and that any success that they have is for those reasons, because they sort of go outside of the mainstream, like the typical male sports fan, 18 to 34.
You know, I guess I've never really looked at it like that. I've never really looked at it as like, hey, because we're women's wrestling, we should be figuring out a way to more specifically promote this to women's fans. And it's the same way that I've never looked at Beyond Wrestling, where it's like, hey, we need to go out of our way to promote this to men or women specifically, because, you know, when I first got involved with WSU, like, one of the things that I was saying, and I still stand by, is like, I'm not a fan of women's wrestling, but I'm also not a fan of men's wrestling. I'm just a fan of good wrestling. And so I guess the audience that we've been trying to cater to are people that are also fans of good wrestling, and then trying to give them the best show that we possibly can. But I guess it is kind of interesting. You know, now that you've brought it up, like, what could we do as far as WSU goes to make it more specifically appeal to women without alienating the current fans that we have? I mean, it's not something that I've ever really given much thought to, so I can't really give you a better answer than the one that I already have. But I guess that is pretty interesting going forward, especially, like I said, with this CZW school, like, having so many girls training there right now. Like, obviously, there are women that grew up wrestling fans.
For sure.
And so, I mean, you know, just to rephrase this question, like, how do you just get more fans in general?
I mean, like, of course.
Like, yes. You know, and then it's kind of like, okay, are you trying to, you know, go after existing wrestling fans, or are you trying to go after existing independent fans, or are you trying to go after existing women's fans? You know, are there people that are fans of women's wrestling that don't follow any other independent wrestling? Are there people that, like, follow women's wrestling that don't follow, like, any other wrestling in general? I mean, these are all valid questions, but I think suffice to say, the total number of people that we could possibly reach at this point, like, we haven't even scratched the surface. So I think that once we are starting to do better, like, geographically, then maybe we could start to implement certain strategies, which would better appeal, I guess you could say, to women's wrestling fans that are also women.
It's good to know after 4.5 years, Drew, I can find a way to stump you. That was my goal, and I think...
Yeah, wow, shit. I don't know. What do you think? You watch this?
I don't know. I'm not a promoter, but to me, it's just one of those things. I don't mean this to sound sexist, but to me, if you're going to have a women's wrestling company, I think it only makes sense that why wouldn't you want young girls to sort of see these female wrestlers as potential idols, so that they either get more involved in wrestling, become wrestling fans. I mean, I just think it's sort of a natural connection to make.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that mentality, and I agree with you.
And, you know, I think that it's sort of the same thing that, you know, I'm going to go to sports, which I know you know minimal about except for hockey. But, you know, I think something like Title IX undoubtedly made women more prone to be fans of sports and more prone to be a part of sports. And I think it's definitely gotten a lot better in the last 20 to 30 years. But, you know, just like in wrestling, you know, I think it could go a lot farther.
Fair enough.
All right, Drew. We've gotten a lot of plugs in, but now's the time to plug the Twitters and the Facebooks and all that good stuff.
Well, Facebook is facebook.com/WSU Wrestling. That is where we'll have all the latest updates going into this weekend's show, as well as twitter.com/WSU Wrestling or at WSU Wrestling, whichever you prefer. Definitely subscribe on YouTube because we're really going to be trying to beef that up again. You know, going back to another question that you had asked earlier, like that's another thing too, is I feel like we really have expanded our online presence probably above and beyond what is the usual for most of the other women's wrestling companies. So definitely check out youtube.com/WSU Women's Wrestling and subscribe if you are listening to this podcast still. Because if you're listening to this podcast, if you listened all the way to the podcast and then have the option to, like, watch some of the wrestling for free but choose not to, like, these are the people that I can't wrap my head around. Like, that's what drives me wild. what else? Tickets at lookmanofans.com, which nobody thinks is funny. I still think it's funny, especially, like, you know, because that's the main Beyond Wrestling website. Now that we're doing, like, really good crowds, everybody's like, oh, lookmanofans.com, that's stupid. It's just like, exactly. Exactly, you're right. It is stupid. Like,
well, if you're an OG Beyond Wrestling fan, it's still funny, but...
Yeah. I heard rumors. I don't know. Maybe we'll have a website. Maybe we won't have a website. But we do have streamwsu.com.
That's the most important thing. As long as I can watch your content somewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, dude, I think that we go out of our way to make ourselves more accessible than is probably necessary. Like, you can still watch the MP4s and streams on, you know, SmartMark Video. RF Video handles all the DVD editing. If you want Blu-rays, you can get them exclusively through RF Video. They have the iPay-per-view replay immediately after the show for 14 days, so that's the quickest place to see it. If for some reason you hate SmartMark Video and you hate RF Video, you can also get them at High Spots. You can get them directly through WSU. And you can watch individual matches at Click Wrestle. So, you know, you got a lot of options.
If you hate High Spots, follow WSU. What? If you hate SmartMark, High Spots, and RF Video, which I can't imagine you're an independent wrestling fan.
If you hate SmartMark, if you hate RF Video, and if you hate High Spots, you can still contact us directly for a TVD. And if you hate WSU but still want to buy our DVD, I will still sell it to you, but we will not build a good rapport.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
But yeah, no, streamwsu.com. That's going to be a big thing if it's not already. It's going to get bigger and bigger every single week. So especially by releasing the content from the secret shows exclusively there, which as soon as I get done with this podcast with you, that's actually what I need to do is the final export. To be able to get the first secret show up on streamwsu.com for this week. So
if you're listening to this and it's still not up, I apologize for taking an hour of Drew's time away from getting it up.
For sure. And what else? What else could I possibly plug? How about this show, Blood and Thunder? Definitely get tickets if you want to sit front row reserved. I always urge all of our fans to get them ahead of time in the event that we sell out. And we have been doing more and more pre-sale tickets with each passing show. So, you know, is it going to happen? Maybe not. Is it worth risking? I don't know. Get your tickets at lookmanofans.com for Blood and Thunder. And if you're not going to be there in person, you should watch live at ccwippv.com. And we'll probably work something out so you can watch both shows for like $20 or something. I think that's what we normally do.
That's a hell of a deal. That 2 for $20 for WCU and CCW.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good feeling. And I think that's something else that's been cool working with CCW is... I feel like through WSU, we've been able to turn fans onto CCW. And there's been fans that have come down that hadn't checked out CZW previously that are coming for WSU and staying for CZW. So that's awesome because I really, really, really like what CZW does. I don't think that we've been able to grow WSU as effectively as we have been able to do had it not been for the fact that we've linked up with CZW. And I do owe a lot to their organization and specifically DJ Hyde, who I'm hoping that we will be working even closer with past October. So I wish I already had a return date ready to announce. I'm sure we'll have it worked out for Saturday, but I got to wait for DJ to get back from Europe to trying to figure out the logistics of running on the same day of Cage of Death, because Cage of Death is running head-to-head with Ring of Honor final battle. So
thanks, independent wrestling.
Yeah. No, I mean, to CZW's credit, they definitely looked into a lot of different options, and it seemed like the only day that would have been feasible was like maybe the day after Christmas or something like that.
That's a nightmare.
Right. It's just one of those things where it's like, it is what it is. You know, you roll with the hits, you do the best that you can with the situation. But, you know, CZW's locked into doing Cage of Death that day. I don't necessarily know if it's in our best interest to also try and run a women's show. If there's already going to be fans that are sort of traveling out of area. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
I don't have all the answers yet.
If I did,
I would tell you what is the exact incident that will happen that will cause my exit from the world of professional wrestling. Because this is what I think about more than anything else. It's trying to figure out my demise. Because everybody runs in cycles. And it's so pathetic when people like stay past their expiration. It's not a good look. It's not me.
It's probably best I not say anything because I'll get myself in trouble.
I really want to.
I'm running through my head.
I really want to own a boat someday and be able to do boat things, like be on water. And I feel like that means I can't do wrestling forever. So I'll figure out when my time has come, but
someday,
we are
Drew,
just getting started.
You've got to make killings on the Stream WSU, buy that boat, and then just sail around the world and never speak of wrestling again.
No, it's like, no, WSU is like a flip project, like when people flip a house.
So the goal is that you're going to eventually sell it to either AIW, Shine, or Prazak. Is that how it's going to work?
No, probably sell it to, like, the guy from Wrestlicious.
Excellent. Even better.
He's got way more money than anybody else you just mentioned.
Or David McClain, because he's always looking for a women's wrestling company.
Or, wait, who's that?
He owned GLOW.
Oh. You're talking to the women's wrestling historian here, pal. I was just testing you.
Good one.
Yeah, that was good. I don't know. Who else? Maybe, like, does WWE still buy tape libraries?
I think they do. I think they have independent wrestling tapes their thing.
Did the Bellas ever wrestle for WSU? Because if they did, then them being married to Cena and Danielson, like, they're going to get pushed for the next 20 years. And then when Triple H's daughters are all old enough to wrestle, dude, like, if women's wrestling is going to become the standard 20 years from now, and like men's wrestling is going to be like the niche thing. Like, oh, remember the good old days when we had men's wrestling? Like, once Triple H's daughters are old enough to wrestle, like, it ain't going to be nothing but women's wrestling.
That is a very interesting and scary thought. That's when you're going to cash out, 20 years from now.
Yeah, so I just need to figure out how to, you know, over the next 20 years, just cultivate, like, this army of, like, awesome women's wrestling like superstars that can all get to WWE, so that way we can sell all of our tapes to WWE, and then hopefully WWE will be like, wow, Drew, you're so good at identifying women's wrestlers, we're gonna sign you to a contract where you just identify women all day. I think the podcast should end now.
All right, Drew Cordero.
All right, goodbye.
Very much, as always. An entertaining end of the podcast. I hope people did not turn it off after the plugs, because I think we had our best bit after the plugs. So I think this all worked out. Thanks a lot. We'll do it again.
All right. Thanks, man. Bye.
Hang on the air for just for a couple minutes.
All right.
And if you want to follow what we do here, Pro Wrestling Ponderings, you can go to twitter.com/PWPonderings for results, links to articles, news, all that good stuff. Also find us on Facebook by searching Pro Wrestling Ponderings. PWPonderings.com is the mothership. That's the place where you can go to find all of my DVD reviews for AEW, PWG, and a whole lot more. As I said before, you know, we do two other weekly podcasts every week with the weekly newscast, Fan to Fan. Please support those podcasts. Subscribe to what we do here on the iTunes. Leave those 4- or 5-star reviews. And also make sure you go to some of our fine partners, High Spots, Amazon. Go to the links, do all that stuff. For everyone here at Pro Wrestling Ponderings, thanks for listening to the interview show, and have a good night.